Those 7 days have almost passed. There is little that needs to be said. So they will say all of it.
Oh no.
That is
you
like,
hang up on?
You did it again!
Oh no.
Mike! This is becoming a thing with you.
Oh no.
WFOD begins now.
This thing we call the Dubfod. My name is Mike. I am joined, of course, by my good friend, the king of pranks, the albino alligator, popcorn bitch, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Hello.
The phone number to contact the show is 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. Travis, we have...
Yes, sir.
One hell of a program in store for everyone tonight. Our friend Jody is supposed to be here. He's having some sort of technical issue, Travis.
Seems to be a thing lately, right? Technical difficulties.
Well,
we
tested. I talked to Jody for like 15 minutes. Had him on video. Looked great. Audio sounded good. Now I just can't figure it out, Travis. Can't figure it out.
Huh.
Travis,
maybe we'll talk to Jody soon.
Coming up after the break, we are going to be talking to Petrie Hawkins Bird. He was the bailiff on the Judge Judy program for 25 years.
A long time.
He's doing a YouTube show with his wife, who will also be joining us. Her name is Makita Bird. Bonding with Bird is the name of the show. Looking forward to talking to them. Travis.
Yeah.
So, this is gal in Florida, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, you know, it's important to a girl to be liked in high school. You know what I'm saying?
Wouldn't you say it's important for all people to be liked in high school?
I've never been a girl, Travis, and so it's hard for me to put it together, but I think it might be harder for them.
You're probably right.
Maybe. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's the same. I don't know.
It probably is. You know, there's a lot of pressure on a young woman.
She was...
And are we becoming feminists?
Maybe. Maybe. Hi, Jody.
Hey, guys.
Jody.
Sorry, was I doing something wrong?
I don't know what was going on.
Usually.
But
yeah, you're right. That's why I'm asking. Now. I want to make sure you do apologize or something.
Well, you can apologize if you want to.
I'm sorry.
So her name is Emily Grover, Travis, and what she wanted to be is the homecoming queen. And
what young girl doesn't want to be the homecoming queen, right?
Well, she was a good tennis player, apparently. And an A student, and her,
I hope she doesn't say anything bad about China.
her mom was a principal at a different school within the same district.
Okay.
And what is alleged is that she logged in to her mom's account so that she could get a whole bunch of her fellow students' birthdays so that she could then vote for herself like hundreds of times from different kids' accounts that she should be.
Oh, was this, this is a digital voting situation.
Yeah.
So all she needed was the name and the birth date, and she was able to vote.
I guess that was like the challenge question or something.
Like when were you born?
Right. And so, they launched this major investigation because some things didn't check out, you know, that this gal got so many votes. And so they started like calling some of the people that voted for her and just saying, hey, did you vote for this gal? And they're like, no, I didn't vote at all. So they were, the mom and the girl were arrested and face up to 16 years in jail.
God damn. What? Wait a minute.
For hacking the school thing, Travis.
Who did the investigation?
I don't know. Like I guess the actual authorities. Police? The authorities got it. Think about Zach Morris, Travis. Think about how much trouble he'd be in for some of the shenanigans.
He'd be serving three life sentences for all of the things that he did at Bayside.
I mean, like, this just seems like schoolyard shenanigans, right? Who cares?
Well, what did the mom have to do with it? If the girl just like had the login and she's like, I'm going to log in under my mom's account and I'm going to vote for myself for homecoming. Like, what? That's not a prison thing.
Well, they investigated.
It'd be a ticketable thing. I mean, maybe like a stern talking to, and they say, don't do that, and maybe keep your stuff under wraps, but it's not like go to jail time.
Especially because she's a minor, right?
Right.
She's a high school student.
Well, she's probably right around there if she's going to be homecoming queen, right? Don't you? You be a homecoming queen when you're like a upperclassman, right? So she's close.
I guess you could be 18.
There's like junior court, I think. For if you want to be like a sophomore, maybe. But yeah, usually homecoming is the last 2 years, I think. So
Federales start infiltrating the school and asking a lot of questions. And all of her friends caved because they're like, hey, you know if she did this or not? And they said, well, we don't know if she did it, but we can tell you that like we were kind of nervous about what we got on a science test. And she was always willing to log into her mom's account to tell us what we got on our science test. So, like, there's a precedent for this.
Oh, shit.
That she's able to do this. She
fucking snitches.
Yeah, this is just a case of bad friend picking. This is not good.
So, I pulled a clip. I don't even remember what the clip is, Travis, but I think it's them sounding like liars. Let's see.
There's evidence to prove that she could not possibly have done that.
Can you share what that is?
I can't, not right now.
You have an alibi?
A lot of them.
Such as?
I'm sorry, I can't get into
that. sound like liars, Travis.
I've been instructed by my attorney to not say any of my alibis, thanks.
Yeah, I know we agreed to this interview, but we're not going to tell you anything.
So what could your alibi be that you didn't log in to a website? I guess, do they have a time that you logged into the website and you say, oh, well, at this time I was at my friend's house.
That's the thing. That's what I'm thinking is like there can't be any evidence you didn't do it. And there can't be any alibis that you didn't do it. Like this is a pure case. Like how that's like if maybe your partner like found your porn search history. And they're like, oh, this is what you look for. And it's like, no.
Oh.
I have evidence. They're like, what's your evidence? It's like, well, I can't get into it.
Your brother borrowed my phone that day. I wasn't even here.
You got to get Pete Townsend's lawyer and just tell him you're making a documentary about cheating at being the queen of the homecoming. Just say, hey, yes. I just wanted to see what it would look like if maybe I tried to cheat.
I was researching for my upcoming book if I did it.
Yeah.
Jody, you ever hack?
No, like not present day. No, I did so there was a retarded kid in class once upon a time, and he used to get to play fun games while we had to do like other computer learning shit in the back of the classroom.
Give him something to do to occupy himself, like put a puzzle together or something.
That's exactly what it was. And it had like fun little prize, little stars and animations and shit. Okay. And we saw him log in one day. And then me and a friend of mine would like, instead of doing regular school shit, we would log into his thing and just play fun games. And I got caught doing it one day. And I think that he ratted on me because we both went to separate rooms and tried to log in under the thing. You know, only one at a time. So he ratted on me because he couldn't play.
How old were you when you were trying to log in to play these fun games that were set up for a special person?
Fifth grade. So what's that like? 11. Damn.
Did you have 11? Those cool Macintoshes with the like green back on them? Is that what you had in school?
No, it was before those. It was like the tower IBMs, I guess, was real popular in schools. And they had the headset with the little microphone that would crank down like an Xbox headset. You would just go in there and do like math and spelling and shit. And then, yeah, one day I just happened to see what he was getting to play. I go, oh, that's an easy password. I'm going to remember that. And I told somebody else and that guy ratted me out. I got in trouble.
Travis, my dad was a high school chemistry teacher. He's now retired. But when
your dad was?
When I was in high school, my dad was a high school chemistry teacher. And I had the chemistry teacher's manual in the basement, and I used it to cheat on my homework all the time, and I still got a D in chemistry. Like I did not benefit from having a teacher dad. Like I took four semesters of chemistry and I got a mid D four semesters. I didn't get chemistry at all.
Are you sure you weren't using the chemistry Bible in your biology class and that's why you failed?
I was getting my
it's like, oh, I don't even take confused. Chemistry.
It makes a lot of sense.
Maybe that's what it is. I just thought it was chemistry. Did I ever tell you guys the story about when I fell asleep in chemistry class and everybody thought I was dead? I don't know if I told that story or not. So we're watching a safety video about goggle safety, how you should always wear goggles. And the point of the video was just to show terrible shit that can happen to people's eyes if they don't wear them. And then just flash on the screen, hey, this guy should have been wearing safety goggles. And then they go to like another, like they're playing racquetball. And a guy gets hit in the eye with a racquetball. And he goes, oh, I should have wore safety goggles. And then that's the whole video.
It's like those OSHA videos that they make people watch that work in factories every couple of years. They make you sit down and watch a video from the 90s about people falling downstairs and stuff.
The video is very old. I'm sure everyone in it is now dead. Before the video, Mr. Waters told us, he said, hey, you know, some of the content in this video is pretty graphic and people have reacted to it. But it is important that you see it. So that you know the importance of I wear safety or whatever. And so he turns out the lights. He puts this video on. And I take this as a perfect opportunity to get like a 45-minute nap in.
Sure.
And so I fall asleep. I had my head down on my desk. But at some point, my head went back, had my head rested on the girl behind me's desk with my mouth open, snoring. And she kind of nudged me forward because she didn't want me to like snore in her face.
Sure.
And I fell out of the desk onto the floor. Mr. Waters immediately turned the lights on and came over running to me. And when I woke up, he was cradling me on his knees on the floor with the entire class surrounding me, just yelling my name.
Wago!
And from what I heard... There's a kid in my class named Alan Parker. He took off running down the hall to go get the nurse because he thought I was dead. He ran down the hallway yelling, Mike's dead, Mike's dead, Mike's dead. So Mr. Waters takes me out in the hallway, and Alan is running down the hallway with a wheelchair with the chubby nurse trailing behind her with a big lanyard full of keys. She was a jangling. And they put me in a wheelchair and they took me to get some orange juice. And Mr. Waters insisted that I had a seizure and he called my dad. My dad, he didn't have a seizure. He fell asleep. Like he knew without even being there. that I had fallen asleep.
What were you saying this entire time that you were causing this ridiculously dramatic scene?
I just like
nothing.
I must have just fallen asleep. I mean, I was confused. I woke up with my teacher. Maybe when the gal pushed me, I landed on my head and actually did get knocked out.
Like concussion, just kind of.
I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, I woke up and I was in Mr. Waters' arms. Mm. And I was confused.
Did you gain any fun nicknames from this?
No, Travis, never had a nickname. I've lived this entire time on this earth without one. And it's
how old were you when this happened? It was a chemistry class, right? Like what? It must have been high school.
It's been grown, yeah. Because you said you sucked at it, so it's not like you were doing that shit in 10th grade.
No, I guess it was like a 10th or 11th, I guess.
Yeah.
And nobody ever called you Seizure Boy? Or
they never called me Seizure Boy. That would have been cool if I had been Seizure Boy.
Travis.
Yeah.
It's because Fallout Boy was already taken.
Oh. Fallout Boy. Jody just shot a hoop and scored a three-pointer.
He did a Kobe. Did you see that? That's the visual element of the show, Travis. Jody, you're a natural at YouTube.
They felt that. They know what happened. People,
we're not dabbing anymore when we do some awesome.
I felt it. I thought you were going to make it for me.
So, yeah, I don't know. What? Because I mean, she already got the cheers. She already got the crown. I mean, they could posthumously, I guess, make somebody else the homecoming queen. But it doesn't matter. Like she.
Yeah,
already
but
lived
it's not
it.
Like they keep a list of like all of the homecoming queens, right? I mean, maybe they put it in the yearbook, but it's not like it doesn't go on like a placard in the hallway.
I guess they would have to take a new picture of like a gal. She'd have to dress up that day to get her picture.
Or maybe they would just provide all the students with like a whiteout marker and say, hey, turn to page 73 and where Susie Jenkins has a picture of her as the homecoming queen. Just like blotch her out of that picture.
Yeah. And I want you all to forget the way you felt that day.
It didn't matter. It was lies.
Do you think that they'll actually prosecute her? Do you think that she'll actually, because she seems very smug, Travis. I don't think she thinks she's going to prison.
Oh, she probably sucks. Like any girl that would do this. And I bet her mom sucks too. They seem like a couple of suck fest suckers, but at the same time,
maybe they're really nice people, Travis. Maybe they were framed. You know, that is something to consider, Travis. What if someone framed her by voting a whole bunch of times, thinking that for sure she'll get caught, and the federales
so like a and her mom that was
like a super meanie. Either somebody was super jealous of that gal, or somebody had her mom for a teacher and wanted to frame him up.
My guess is the first people to look at for this frame job is kids in her class that have law enforcement parents, because like, why would they even get involved to begin with? Like, right, why is the true law enforcement even there?
Yeah. It should just be a school district thing. Not a law enforcement thing.
Right.
It's not like she didn't crack into like some weird database. She just logged into her mom's account.
Right. I guess there is personal information there that we should be concerned about. But not really.
Yeah, but her mom had access to that. Like, she could have, I mean, by rights, she could have just said, hey, mom, I need the birth dates of all of these people. Can you give them to me? And then the mom could have been like, well, what do you need those for? And she could have been like, well, because I want to bring them a card on their birthday. You know what I mean? Like, all this, it seems ridiculous.
Right. And I guess if you really wanted to know everybody's birthday, you just wait until the cookie cake shows and write it down.
Right, exactly. In reality, she should have never denied logging into the account. She should have just said that she wanted Jennifer Wheeler's birthday because she had a big surprise planned.
Yeah, you were hacking, but it was a good-natured hack.
See, look at, I got the cake in the fridge. This is a movie. I'm going to pitch it real quick. Okay. Just like I pitched. I just saw like a 10-year post from Little Hurricane saying been making music together for 10 years or something like
that. That one came true.
And yeah, my pitch for that movie that they thought was ridiculous and you were like, ah, you shouldn't have did that, was they ended up married and having a kid.
Now I'd like to think you planted the seed.
I think I did plant the seed. We should have them back on and ask if, when I pitched them that movie idea, that they thought about each other romantically all of a sudden. So here's my pitch for this movie. There is a boy.
By the way, Travis, you seen that gal? You didn't plant the seed.
He planted the seed.
Yeah, no, he definitely planted the seed.
That's how they had a kid.
Yeah, he had that gal show up and say, I wanted to play drums for you, and he said, okay.
Yeah.
You guided the
seed. Here's the long con. I just want to be in a band.
Yeah, wink, wink. Let's start a band, wink, wink.
So there's a kid in the mom's class, this boy. He hates her for some reason. This is going to be a real quick, rough outline.
Okay.
He knows a girl in her daughter's school who he is pretending to date to get close to her. So this girl is the one that knows that she is the daughter of the mom. She frames her up so she can be with the boy. The mom and the daughter go down. There has to be some payoff for the boy, the reason that he did it, besides just not liking the teacher.
Can I give a caveat, Travis? Can I add?
Please. This is a brainstorming sesh.
Trans boy.
Ooh.
Who wants to be the prom queen. And he goes to apply, and maybe she's like the head of the prom queen committee. And she's like, boys can't be prom queen. And he's like, I'll show her. And then maybe he sets up the mom and the daughter because he knows that she fucking gets in and looks at grades and stuff. So, yeah, he says, I'm going to knock this bitch out and the committee leader bitch. I'm going to be the prom queen slash king.
So now
we're going to have to extend this to like a 10 episode CW series.
The runner up, he's got to find dirt on her so that eventually it gets down to where like there is no eligible candidates to be the homecoming queen.
And the end is like sleepaway camp, right? The first one?
Of course. Pants come down.
Still think about it.
Knife goes up.
Guys, in just a minute, we're going to talk to the Petri Hawkins Bird and Makita Bird. Looking forward to that. But first, I think what we should do is we should take a break. We should regroup. And we'll be back. Have you noticed it doesn't matter if you're fat or thin, your belt doesn't keep your pants where you want them? That's why I invented Sticky Pants, the only pants with an adhesion strip directly at your waistline. Hairy boys need not apply. Go to WFODshow.com for more information.
WFOD! Gators in the basement, comics stacked to the ceiling, gazing at the computer glow, feeling that turnaround feeling. Precious moments, old blue Pepsi, Beanie Babies, all for sale, somewhere in his man cave. Christmas toys all around him, retro childhood memories, records of music, cards that say magic, sell them on eBay, hustling halls. God, I wish my voice wasn't so bad right now.
Hello, listener. There's things you need to know.
Online and on your mobile device.
This is Strange Label.
So I hopped on the car. up on the car?
Yes. So I hopped on the car.
Up on the car?
Yes. So I hopped on the car.
Up on the car?
Yes.
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 Once again, WFOD. Wheelbarrow full of dicks.
Guys, welcome back. Our guests tonight are the hosts of the weekly YouTube program Bonding with Bird. Petri Hawkins Bird and Makita Bird are on the program. Guys, how's it going?
How you guys doing?
Oh, Petri, I'm doing great, man. Are you doing okay?
Doing well, actually.
Makita there with you, or is it just you?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Makita.
How you doing?
You know, I was excited to talk to you because I saw that that you at one point produced the Dr. Oz show. And
yeah.
There was a big announcement with Dr. Oz the other day. Did you see?
I know that he's running for Senate in Pennsylvania.
Well, oh, goodness.
Any opinions on that?
No comment. I think he should stick to being a television personality, but, you know.
What we were saying is he'll probably win, right? Just with the name recognition and stuff, and that'll be really, really weird. But name
crazier
recognition.
Things have happened, for sure.
Yeah,
well, honestly, if Arnold Schwarzenegger could be governor,
Dr. You read my mind, babe. You read my mind. Yeah, absolutely. We want to win Pennsylvania, and we'll do that. Don't worry. Everything will be good. Get to the chopper.
So, Petri, you got into your television career by writing a letter to somebody that you know. Maybe Makita has a future in politics. You could just write a letter and say, hey, remember me? Do you need a...
There you go. Like you say, truth is stranger than fiction, you know? So.
Now, if people don't know, Petri, he was the bailiff on Judge Judy's program for 25 years. You worked on that?
25 years, man.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a long time to do something,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a long time to be tall, handsome, and silent. You know?
And so you were an actual you don't say that, right? That you were an actual bailiff on this show too. You did the same job, so, but you know what I mean, right? You were an actual bailiff in the late 80s.
Yeah.
I was a court officer
in New York Manhattan Family Court, and that was where I first met Her Honor in that setting. And then I left New York in 1990, left law enforcement about 1993, and started working for as a high school counselor. And while doing that, I happened to read about her in the Liz Smith gossip column, and just wrote her a letter to congratulate her. And I was kidding around at the end of the letter, and I said, "Hey, you know, if you ever need a bail, if I still look good in uniform." Well, that little jokey joke turned into 25 years of being the bailiff on this well-known TV show.
Early on, it probably wasn't well-known, but it kind of grew into it was, I mean, for a lot of years, wasn't it like the biggest show on television or daytime?
Well, you know, believe it or not, when we started, you know, we were syndicated. But we were syndicated into like 96% of the markets in this country, you know, which is basically unheard of for a startup show. So we were pretty popular, you know, coming out of the chute. And on top of that, we were the only game in town at that point.
People's Court had been off the air for quite a few years already, right? Like no offense, but that Judge Wapner is my TV judge, right? Like I stopped watching any TV court shows after Judge Wapner retired and then passed away.
5 minutes to Wapner. 5 minutes to Wapner. Remember Rain Man? So,
absolutely.
You know, Judge Wapner was the iconic figure in court TV. You know, and again, at the time he was the only game in town. You know, but along comes Judge Judy, and man, she just blew that whole concept out of the water, you know.
Which is I'm sure was a wonderful journey, but at the same time, you ask any of these young punks now if they know who Judge Wapner was, they're gonna be like, "What are you talking about?"
They're right.
I don't think that's right.
well, you know, ask them what Gunsmoke is, you know.
Yeah, right.
You're like, "Oh, there's some guy that smoked him with a gun, you know, that's gangster." No, that's cowboy.
And you know what, Travis? Like we joke, but those are the judges you know. Just like Dr. Oz is the doctor you know, and that's why he's going to be
actually the doctors that I know wasn't it that show just called The Doctors, and there was like six of them.
Yeah,
a bunch of young, good looking doctors.
It was like three of them.
Was there three of them? They just had guests.
Yeah,
I think there's a hot justice now too with a bunch of like young attractive people in robes. That's a
great title for a show,
hot
by the way. Justice. Hot justice.
Yeah. Hot justice. Justice.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah. Anything hot, you know, hot pitch, you know.
Makita, you were a lottery girl. Like, did you pick the balls that came out of the?
Yeah, I see you've done your research.
And then
she was a ball picker.
I started off my career in front of the camera. So
that was your first thing, was being a lottery girl.
So the funny story is that my aunt submitted me for the job. They were looking for lottery girls. I had no idea. And some guy called me from the lottery. And he's like, "Can I speak to Makita?" I was like, "Yeah, this is Makita." He's like, "Well, I don't remember his name. This is such and such from the lottery." And I got super excited. And then...
she thought you won.
I thought I won something, actually. but he wanted to offer me a job and have me in for an interview. And I was like, "Oh, my God." And then I found out that my aunt actually gave me the job, actually.
Oh.
Nepotism. That's how you get the job.
I always thought, because that's still a thing now, right? Like, is attractive young ladies pulling the numbered balls out, smiling, kind of. It's like, I feel like that's the whole deal about behind Deal or No Deal, right? It was like somebody was watching the lottery drawing one day, and they're like, "What if instead of just one gal, we had like 20 gals, and instead of balls, they were holding briefcases with numbers on it, and then when they open their briefcase, they can smile or frown."
Well, one of those Deal or No Deal gals ended up marrying the Prince of England, Travis. It's an upwards trajectory.
Hey, come on, how long has Vanna been turning letters? You know,
Vanna's the OG.
I feel like we are due for like a switcheroo, right? Like we're gender swapping things. I feel like what the lottery needs now is a 40-year-old overweight balding man with who is a father of two picking out the balls. And then I make like the I'll bite my knuckles, you know, when I pick up, oh, that's number 40. And I'll be kind of like, I think that's a nice change of pace.
And do it with your shirt off?
Maybe open, not off.
Oh, yeah. Just show a little chest hair coming out the top.
Or we use a former bailiff, you know, to, wrestle him to the ground, you know. And,
I like it. You just get a bunch of guys.
I got that move.
You know what would be?
You get a bunch of guys with numbered shirts and you just tackle them. That'll be the lottery.
That's it. You know?
It's whoever Petrie tackles. Those are the lottery numbers.
That's right. And then they can chase after a little oblong shaped football. No, that's right. They already have that, right? They already do that every Sunday.
So how do you go from being the lottery person to getting into production?
So actually, I loved my job, but I had to resign because I hit a deer.
You did?
I hit a deer on the Taconic Parkway, and I had panic attacks because we had to drive around New York State to like give these awards away. So I couldn't, fulfill the job. So I moved back home. I used to the lottery job was in Schenectady, New York.
Oh.
So I moved back and I got a degree in broadcast journalism. And I started out interning for Dr. Oz, and then I started working for Dr. Oz, Anderson Cooper, and then I moved to California for Jeff Probst, and the rest is history.
Which one's Jeff Probst? Travis, which one's Jeff
Probst? You know the guy from Survivor?
The Survivor guy. That's why I know that name. He had a show?
So,
it was one season. That's it.
Did Dr. Oz have, or Anderson Cooper, did any of them have like warm-up acts, like to get the crowd going?
Every show has a warm-up act if it's like a talk show. But
yeah.
The talent doesn't do, the talent doesn't do any warm-up, they're just there for, your show.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. If you were your favorite?
To warm up the They hire comedians to warm up the audience.
Right. Who is your favorite warm up comedian that you were around for?
Oh Lord, I don't.
Anybody who sticks out in your head.
Damn.
Nobody.
I'm really bad with names, so I know it was a girl, but she was at Jeff Probst. Damn it.
How many warm up comics?
I think it was Robin Williams.
No, Robin Williams, RIP. But yeah, I don't remember, to be honest.
All right.
Well, was there an intern that brought you coffee that like did a really good job, like brought you like really, really good coffee? Do you remember their name?
Yes, his name was Julio.
Oh, Julio.
Julio sounds great.
is he in the business now? Did he move his way up?
No. Sectionally in the business as Julio the intern. Yeah.
Rocky with a Q-U-E. I have pretty good interns.
Any chance that you're going to have these interns as a guest on your new podcast?
Never thought about that because they're doing some really big things.
Travis is an idea guy. You should take it. Write that down.
Never thought about
it.
That.
That's it. The search for JTI, Julio the intern.
So then after Jeff Probst, you moved on to working on Judge Judy. And that's where you met Petri.
Oh, no. I moved on to working for Paternity Court and then The Real.
Oh, my God.
And then in 2016 is when I was with Judge Judy. In the producing world, it's like freelance. So you always hop on from different shows. The reason why, Judge Judy was a well-oiled machine. So I stayed there for 6 years until it ended.
So I guess that's what you do when you're looking for somebody. You look at somebody who's already been on something else. It's all about what you've already done.
Pretty much, yeah. Entertainment is very small. It's a very small industry. I know you heard that, but I didn't realize it until I was in the industry. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah. So
you're only as good as your last project, I think, is what they say, Mike. Isn't that the rule in industry with Hollywood stuff?
Jody, Makita, she's on like the morning news now. She does lifestyle and fashion tips.
Yeah.
And I was hoping she could help you out a bit.
Help me?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you need help.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fix me. Makita, fix me, please. My wife will appreciate it.
Jody,
tell him you look perfectly fine. He looks perfectly fine.
I think he looks perfectly good. I wish I saw a picture.
Jody, we need to send her a picture, and maybe she can help you out a bit, because
that's the thing. She says that now until she receives the picture.
Yeah, Jody, don't send her the pictures that you sometimes send people.
Yeah, I know. I got a couple. I got to flip through and find the right one.
Makita, he's very free with his body. We don't really understand it. I guess that would be a good tip to give him first, is to stop that.
Yeah. Probably maybe shave, buy a trim. That's probably another good option. Don't wear Crocs. You ever worn Crocs, Makita? Are you a fan of Crocs?
I wasn't a fan of Crocs, but they're very comfortable.
I love Crocs. People make fun of me. They call me dad and all kinds of horrible things. And I
but
just
you
keep
are a you are a dad.
I am a dad, but still, it's, you know, I get made fun of relentlessly because I'm not a nurse or whatever the appropriate occupation is to wear Crocs.
Maybe Crocs are a walk around the house and barbecue shoe, but not like a go somewhere shoe.
Not an out and about, like don't put on your Zubaz and your Crocs and go
definitely
out to the.
Not.
I wear Crocs definitely to the. Not. I definitely wear Crocs to the grocery store, but sometimes I put the back down to put them in like four wheel drive so I don't fall off when I'm walking through the house.
Okay.
See,
I wouldn't go out like to a night out with your wife or girlfriend, right?
Oh, Mickey, I've been married for 8 years. We don't do out anymore. I go pick up food and bring it back here. And
you don't take her out and throw a burger down her throat once in a while?
Not really, man. I don't enjoy eating out. It's weird. I like to drink with my food sometimes, like beer. If I have a burger, I like to have beers. I don't like to drink and drive, and I'm cheap as fuck. So, like, no, I just eat at home.
Perhaps you all missed the part where he said he wears Crocs.
Yeah. Come on, guys. Catch up. He knows. He just met me. He knows what's going on.
I was right here the entire time, man. I was with you the entire time.
So, guys, where should we?
They're trying to send you out on dates, man. You're trying to wear comfortable shoes. Come on.
Guys, where should we send people? I guess the YouTube channel, Bonding with Bird, you search that it'll all pop up. You guys have like a social media account that I can point people at?
Makita Bond 007 on Instagram and Bird the Bailiff on Instagram as well.
Pretry, really quick, I want to, before Mike kind of wraps this up. Yeah.
I've got one too.
Did you have, you stood up there a lot, right? Like, is there a special shoe that you wore or an insert? Because, I mean, that's got to be wickedly uncomfortable to stand there while Judge Judy is shouting at people.
Yeah. Well, 25 years, man. Crocs and Dr. Scholl's.
I like it. Sounds like my kind of guy.
And I'm doing that plug for future work, you know. So if the Dr. Scholl's people are listening, man,
or the Crocs people,
or the Crocs people, I got 25 years. Earth shoes. If you want to come back, I'm ready. I'm ready to do this for you.
Film him above the knee.
The Bamba's socks, right?
I wish you would have said something like that. He's like, well, I stood up there so long. Actually, I just take my shoes off. I was barefoot most of the time on Judge Judy.
That's right. You know, you know, Bermuda shorts. We're pushing those too. You know. So.
Actually, I have another one, Jody. When I told you that we were talking to Bird the other day, you replied with a GIF of Bird nodding enthusiastically, and I was going to ask him, are you familiar with the GIF, and do you know what you're nodding at?
Okay, so I'm familiar with the GIF.
Okay.
Yep. Okay.
It's a very common GIF.
And believe it or not, I was nodding, it actually was me nodding not to go to sleep. So it's actually, you know, it looks like I'm affirming something, but actually I'm nodding off, and they caught me and, you know, managed to turn that into a game.
You can only hear about somebody stealing somebody else's comic book collection and wanting restitution for so long before it's time to go to bed.
Come on, man. Come on. You know what I'm saying? And that particular day, I don't know whose job it was to have my crossword out there, but that person was fired on the spot. Okay. I'm like, dude, I can't do this. I can't stand up here and stay awake. You know, you're asking an awful lot.
Pick one.
But it's funny. I created my own GIF to oppose that GIF. So that one looks like I'm affirming something. I have another one where I'm shaking my head from side to side, and I put my own I call BS on that one. So I'm gonna send you that one. It's a better GIF.
Please do.
I use the other one a lot, Petri. It's funny when he mentions you. I just sent him that one of you biting your lip, going, "Mm-hmm." I go, "That's the one." I had a question, if you don't mind. It's a real quick too, and I just after that long on the show, I understand that it's a production, and obviously you're kind of doing your thing. But like, is there ever a moment when you actually kind of had to get involved with anything? And I'm not saying like you weren't working. Obviously, you were working hard. I'm saying, but like, anybody ever get wild? You got to go tackle them or have a stern talk to or hit somebody with a chair? Has that ever happened?
You know what? The thing about it was is that with security, right? If nothing happens, right, it means you did your job.
Absolutely.
But of course, everybody looks at you like, "What the hell did you do?" Well, believe it or not, I kept you from getting killed multiple times, okay, just by the look on my face.
It's a very small room.
To answer your question, in 25 years, I think there was maybe one time that I had to really get up in somebody's, you know, face. And believe it or not, that didn't involve a whole lot of it didn't involve a whole lot. You know, it was mainly just getting to the guy. My rule always that was that I had to get to the guy who was at the center of the storm, you sure. know? So everybody else thinks they're defending him and they're ready to, you know, go toe to toe for this one person. And all you have to do is get to that person and say the following words: "If anything happens here today, you're going to be the first one to get hurt." And usually that person will stop all the action. He'll call his people to a halt, you know. Yep. Excuse me. I think we are ready to go now.
We're all good here. It makes me want to leave just hearing you say it, to be honest with you.
you seem like a lovely man, Petri, but that kind of gave me a chill.
Hey man, it's all, you know, that's why I was known when I worked at the high school. They called me the Velvet Hammer. You know, it was like very, very smooth, very smooth, and then all of a sudden, bam! You know,
Mike, everybody's got a nickname, but you.
Yeah, we're just talking about nicknames, and here's the Velvet Hammer without a nickname. I think
it's got an episode title if nothing else, Mike.
Guys, bonding with Bird. It's on YouTube.
Mike needs a nickname.
Mike needs a nickname. He said in his entire life he's never gotten a nickname, and this is a guy who fell asleep in his high school chemistry class, fell out of his chair, and everybody thought he was dying of a seizure, and they never called him Strokey or anything.
Not
like
one
that.
Person called me Seizure Boy. Nothing. They're just like, Mike's dead.
Hey man, I'm giving you your nickname right now, man. Shit. Shakes.
Shakes.
That's it. Okay. Right now it doesn't sound cool, but wait, when somebody, you know, when you're at a club or something like that, and your boy's like, "Yo, Shakes, what's up?"
That sounds good. Sounds real good.
Sounds dope now, right? Sounds dope, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When Drunk comes back next week, I'm going to instruct him to introduce you on the show as Shakes.
What up, Shakes?
I'm telling you, sounding good, man.
Guys,
sounding good.
Bonding with Bird on YouTube. Check it out. Guys, we appreciate you spending some time with us. It was fun. We should do it again sometime.
Absolutely.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, folks.
Good hanging with you.
It's a pleasure to meet both of you. Thank you,
Travis. They were fun. Good folks.
They were fun.
Yeah.
They were a lot of fun.
Guys, it's a lot. Travis, let me tell you, I got a pick of the week.
Give it to me.
So I don't know if the pick of the week has ever been a person before, Travis, but
I don't think it has.
This Pepper guy, Travis, the guy's great. He's a goer. You're like, hey, Pepper, make me a song about a fish. And like, he's got it to you in an hour. Like he's just sitting around waiting to do something fun. This little girl, she wrote a song for her fish, Travis. This is the song that the little girl wrote for her fish. And somebody posted it on Twitter and I loved it.
Oh, Fatty, you're not just a fish, you're my friend. You came in a cup from Petco. Now you got your own pineapple. Oh, Fatty, I love how your colors shine. Could talk to you all night. But all you say back is
bloop, bloop.
So, I mean, this is not a popular video.
Was she playing guitar?
Yes.
Yeah, kids are the cutest goddamn thing.
She was playing guitar too?
This video has like 300 views. Somebody retweeted it. And like it had been retweeted three times. And I was like, this is great. And I was just like, hey, Pepper, do a cover of this song. And like within an hour, Travis, I get the cover. I get it back.
Oh, Fatty, not stupid, not came in a cup from Petco. Got your own pineapple.
Oh my god, that's like a newfound glory.
Oh, Betty, I love how your colors shine.
That is spectacular.
So, Pepper's the best.
Pepper's my pick of the week, guys.
How come I can't have talent?
I know, right?
I get jealous, actually, listening to some of the stuff. I send him text messages and I say, I fucking hate how awesome you are sometimes, you cunt.
that clip makes me feel bad.
Dickhead's out mowing lawns in Mississippi, Travis.
And then doing shit like that.
And then doing shit like that.
He writes
that.
Jingles, too. That's his other his pastime. He doesn't do music. He says bands are gay, but he likes playing music and makes it.
Bands are gay.
He's so fucking, he's just the coolest. Love you, guy.
Jody, pick of the week, bud?
My pick of the week is Harry Potter. I know that sounds probably a little weird. I haven't watched those movies in a long time, and there's a few that I only watched once, but I've ran back through the series recently. It's a lot of fun, man. They're 2.5 hours long, so it's like my version of Marvel movies. Like, I can sit down and I'll actually stay awake for them. But God damn it, it's a fun show. I'm already to the end now. I got one more, The Deathly Hallows Part 2, and I'll be done with the series. Then I'm going to actually watch Fantastic Beasts and get into that shit, too.
Oh, good. I've only seen one Harry Potter movie in its entirety, and it was Deathly Hallows Part 1.
What did you think?
You watched like the 8th movie, and that's it?
I thought, I don't get what's happening here.
Yeah, you didn't watch the previous 7 movies.
Yeah. And one of them is weird. Like, the Goblet of Fire was one that I watched one time, and now watching it again as a grown person some, 15 years later, I go, what is going on here? Like, at least a few times in the movie. Like, I didn't get it.
I mean, I got that there was wizards and there was different houses and stuff. I took my I can't remember how old my kid was at the time.
Yeah,
he was into all the Harry Potter movies, and I'm like, oh, I'll take you to the new one. And I was like, oh, I should probably known what was happening before I sat through 2.5 hours of the 7th movie.
Yeah, you should have. It's a fun story, man. I don't know. I know you get into horror stuff. Like, it doesn't really get in that kind of interesting until the latter movies when they're older. Like, there's like 3 little kid movies you kind of got to get through. And after that, the story builds pretty quick, man. It's pretty sweet.
I'll give it a shot.
You should.
It's not too late.
I've never once seen a Harry Potter movie or a Lord of the Rings. I can't give a fuck about those things. I want to, because people like them, and it's like, okay, maybe I'll like these, but I can't give a fuck.
My favorite thing about the Lord of the Rings movies is I adamantly went to go see Fellowship of the Ring and Two Towers, like both of those movies. And I have never seen the third one, Return of the King, which everybody tells me is awesome.
I feel like I did that with The Matrix. Like, I really love the first one and the second one's okay. I don't think I've ever seen the third Matrix movie. I think I just quit.
You know,
it's not a big deal.
Yeah. I don't think I watched the second or the third one more than once. I think I watched them once and I was just like, yeah, no, fuck those movies forever. And the new one's coming out and I have no idea what happens in 2 and 3. I hope that isn't important because I'll probably watch the new one.
It doesn't seem like it's going to be. It seems like Neo is confused. So you can be confused
be confused with him, I guess.
Nope.
They got a new Morpheus. That'll Did Morpheus fun. Die, Travis?
No, he's just younger now, I think.
Well, how does that happen? How do you get younger?
It's the Matrix, baby.
I guess because you're a computer. Travis, pick of the week.
Travis's pick of the week this week is a novel called Razorblade Tears by an author called S.A. Cosby. This is a novel about two ex-con fathers who are united in their grief by a tragedy that befell both of their sons, murder. And they go on a quest for vengeance and stir up a hornet's nest of shit. It's like an unlikely Happen Leonard, or if you like, Murtaugh and Riggs. One is a black fella and one is a redneck white fella. And they get tied up into all sorts of shit, including a biker gang, some redneck pack of, you know, criminal people. And all this book is like 300 pages. I got through it pretty much overnight. I could not put this thing down. Razorblade Tears by S.A. Cosby is my pick of the week.
Do you think it was written to be a Lethal Weapon movie like Die Hard 3 and they like retroactively
is it funny at all?
Well, it takes
comic relief. Is it serious?
It's pretty serious, but there is a little bit of comic relief throughout, mostly coming from Buddy Lee, who is the redneck white guy. He is kind of a suave dirtbag version of like Sam Elliott if he had a little more humor built into him. And the pretty much just the interaction between the two is pretty comical. S.A. Cosby's Razorblade Tears.
Travis,
My Heart is a Chainsaw.
Checked
Mike.
Out My Heart is a Chainsaw from the library.
Did you start it?
I haven't. No, I'm ripping the audiobook and putting it on my phone so I can listen to it at work.
Awesome. I hope you love it. I loved that book.
If it's a file, send it to me. I'll listen to that shit. I just don't want to read books. I'll listen to something.
Yeah, I have a book to read for homework this week, but I'm gonna put this on my phone and I'll send it to you, Jody. Wink, wink.
You still say read if you listen to it?
No,
I listen to a book.
Well, I have a book to read, but I don't know. Like,
what's the proper terminology though?
Travis, if I listen to this audiobook, can we just both agree that I know how to read and say that I read the book?
Yeah, we can say you know how to read.
I probably could have read that.
You just didn't read that specific book. You experienced the story.
So you won't say that I read the book?
I'll say it. Who cares?
That's what I was wondering. If you listen to an audiobook, did you read the book? I guess
you didn't.
Not really.
But I'll say you did.
What if my wife reads me the book? She likes to read. I'll just make her read out loud to me
that
night.
That's pretty good. That sounds like a bonding.
Very sexy.
My niece gave me and Laura both a book about puppies, like one of her like 10-year-old puppy books. She's like, "Hey, you guys got to read this." And so we got home and we had these puppy books and we were like, "Oh, are we gonna really read the puppy books?" And then, like, you know, she texted us like a day or two later. And I was like, "Hey, did you guys start reading the puppy book?" And I'm like, "Fuck, we got to read the puppy book.
Got to read the puppy book."
So every night we would take turns reading a chapter out loud to one another. It only took a couple of days. It wasn't.
Did you guys bone after that? Did she suck your dick?
No.
So what a special experience.
Yeah, it was really great, Travis. I feel like we bonded as a couple.
And now you can bond with your niece by talking about the story.
We did. We called her and we're like, "Hey, we got to talk about this puppy book." Like the puppy came from a different universe and it could be like it was hiding from like a bad puppies that were trying to kill it. And like it teleported to our world. I think like our people world, and it could be invisible. And so this girl got the puppy and was taking it to school, and it was like doing shenanigans while it was an invisible and stuff. I don't remember how it ended, but it was.
Did she get blamed for a lot of these shenanigans?
Yeah. That
sounds right.
Yeah, because the puppy was invisible. Nobody could see it.
Of course. Right. Yep.
Guys, we did it. Guys, Po' Boys podcast. Check it out. Jody, friend of the show. Jody, what episodes you got coming up? You got a good one coming up that you tell the people about?
Yeah, I got an episode with a guy from the Gag on This podcast. He's a fella from California.
Is that Big Nick?
Big Nick. Yeah, I've got Big Nick on. I just had Fish on from Shitty Song of the Week on my latest episode. They're doing Shitty Song of the Year right now. I'm on for that next week. It's going to be fun, man. I love this time of the year. There's all kinds of good things happening. But if you want to find any of my shows, Google search Po' Boys Podcast. And as always, go to BioBidet.com. Use promo code Po' Boys. Buy yourself a bidet for Christmas. Change your lover's life. And use promo code Po' Boys. Give me money.
Jody, let me ask you a question about the bidet.
Yeah.
When I use the bidet, I like the bidet. But I always do like a wipe afterwards just to make sure.
Yeah, you do that.
You do
your
that
ass
too?
Is wet. Like, you still got to get the water off.
I'm just seeing if I'm weird.
No, you're supposed to do that.
That's I don't good. Know the experience of other people. I have to ask so that I know whether I'm weird or not.
So do you no longer take a shower directly after you take a number two, Mike, like you used to?
Well, in the morning. But like, you know, if I have like an evening poop before I go to bed or something.
Oh, see, I was under the assumption based on previous conversations that every time you sat down on the throne, you jumped directly into the shower.
Well, did you buy a bidet, Mike?
I have one. My wife got me a bidet for Christmas.
My wife.
Oh, I have that. Hold on. I got to oh.
My wife.
There we go. That was seamless. That was really good. Oh, we did it, guys.
Yeah.
Yay.
That was fun. Thank you for having me on, guys.
Fun. Thanks, Jody.
Thanks for doing it. And I, Travis, is this going to end up being the Christmas episode? Merry Christmas, right?
Bye,
everybody.
Oh,
yeah. Merry Christmas. Sure. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
No like my big dick. I'm still
listening to this installment of WFOD, please subscribe and leave positive reviews on your preferred podcast player. Share the episode on social media or with one of your in-real-life friends. For links to our ever-expanding universe, including our Discord, our Twitch, and YouTube channels, and our library of back episodes, visit us at WFODshow.com. Thanks to Carl Casey at White Bat Audio for the music used in this podcast. Thanks to our Patreon sponsors, Amanda, Valerie, Brian, and Liquid. Visit patreon.com/WFODix to help support the show. Leave us a voicemail at 636-487-4263. Email us Mike or Travis at WFODix.com or reach out on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. We'll see you next week. Thank you. Goodbye.
Hell yeah, guys. Congratulations. Merry Christmas. In case I don't talk to you before then, yeah. I hope you have a good holidays. Nobody gets
Jody, I
sick.
Talk, I talk to
what
you
they want for Christmas.
I talk to you every day.
Shut up, Mike. I'm talking to Travis. Oh.
to you as well, fam.
I know that the fucking holidays can be real stressful on people. I'm learning this as I'm getting older with my one kid, so I can only imagine as a fellow dad who's locking down for the holiday season. Hey, man. I love you, buddy. I hope you have a good holiday.
to you as well. Find some solace in a drink or some food.
I come home, get drunk, and then I blow leaves and listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
It's not what I always do, but that's my happy places. It's either drinking or blowing leaves.
That's what mine, too, is like drinking and then jumping on the riding lawnmower. But I can't do that this time of year, so it's just drinking.
Over. Well, bye.